I'd like to welcome you again to our cyber series, I guess you could call it, on the Gospel of Mark. Our call to worship is from John's first letter. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. During this time of social distancing and church by video, Facebook Live, we're not able to gather for communion at times, and at the request of some people, I've taken communion to hospitals and to other places, to homes, but it's not certainly the ideal. And as we have our service this morning, we won't be doing a cyber communion service. Communion is something very special that we do as a church body when we come together to fellowship together. I'm going to share with you another part this morning of St. Augustine's confession, part of chapter 6 from his first book. He prayed, "Yet suffer me to speak unto thy mercy, me, dust and ashes. Yet suffer me to speak, since I speak to thy mercy and not to scornful men. Thou too perhaps despisest me, yet wilt thou return and have compassion upon me. For what would I say, O Lord my God, but that I know not whence I came into this dying life, shall I call it, or living death? Then immediately did the comforts of thy compassion take me up, as I heard, for I remember it not, from the parents of my flesh, out of whose substance thou didst sometime fashion me. Thus there received me the comforts of women's milk, for neither my mother nor my nurses stored their own breasts for me, but thou didst bestow the food of my infancy through them, according to thine ordinance, whereby thou distributest thy riches through the hidden springs of all things. Thou also gavest me to desire no more than thou gavest, and to my nurses willingly to give me what thou gavest them. For they, with a heavenly taught affection, willingly gave me what they abounded with from thee. For this my good from them was good for them, nor indeed from them was it, but through them. From thee, O God, are all good things, and from my God is all my health. This I since learned, thou through these gifts within me and without, proclaiming thyself unto me. For then I knew but to suck, to repose in what pleased, the cry and cry at what offended my flesh, nothing more. Afterward, I began to smile, first in sleep, then waking, for so it was told me of myself, and I believed it. For we see the like in other infants, though I myself remember it not." Again, as we read into our present situation, we realize that all that is accomplished is the result of our Creator, Jesus Christ. Augustine realizes that even as a baby, the milk that nourished him was not provided by his mother or his nurses, but that God provided for him through his mother and his nurses. They were given the substance and the desire to take care of his infant needs. In the same way, salvation for this virus, if it is to come, will be provided by God through those who are trained and skilled in the medical field as well as our local, state, and national leaders. He will also put it into our hearts to understand the importance of using our God-given wisdom and our love for each other to follow the advice of others as we continue to social distance and gradually come back together for work and worship. And then at the end of the day, be able to say with all those who love and respect God, thanks be to God. Our service today is about prayer. We're not trying to do fancy things today. We just want to do the basics. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, we come and ask for our church family. We pray, Lord, also for our extended family, those that we as a church love and care for. We entrust each one to your care and bring all of these requests to you, knowing that you love us, that you desire the best for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work and show your work among us. Father, we ask again for those who are our first responders, for those among us who are doctors and nurses in the medical field. We pray, Lord, for your continued wisdom and blessing for all of these. Father, I thank you for the results this week that you brought in our family from Melissa, that her test came back negative. We ask your continued blessing upon her. We pray for Linda. She'll be going in for heart tests this week. We pray, Father, for Brooke and for Aaron as they lost a baby this week. And pray, Lord, that your presence would comfort them during this time. Father, we pray for Rob, an extended member of our church family who needs a job. Father, we pray for Greta, Lord, who's been starting a new job. We pray, Lord, for Helen's hip and Karen's as well, and for Charlie's back as they're experiencing pain. We pray for Ginny, another friend of our church family who is dealing with a weak heart and high blood pressure. We pray, Lord, for John, who is to pass his exams. We pray for a family of David's friend who lost his brother due to the virus. And we pray, Lord, for all those who know or don't know, perhaps, that they have this virus, that you would put your hand of healing upon each and every one. We pray again for Steve and Derek, who are dealing with vision and eye problems. We pray, Lord, for many who are dealing with asthma and other breathing problems, for high blood pressure, for other heart problems, for those with other underlying problems. We pray, Lord, your blessing and protection for each of them. Father, we pray for those who are going to work during this time. We pray, Lord, for those who are working from home, for those, Lord, who are laid off. We pray that you would continue, Father, to provide for all of our needs. We pray, Lord, for those who are responsible for the health of those who are working with them, and ask, Father, that you would give them wisdom. Father, we thank you that we can take these things to you in prayer. And as our song said, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these requests to your Father. And our Father, we thank you for hearing our requests through Christ. And on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ, we come as your children, saying, Abba, Father, hear our prayers. Bless us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to thank all of you who are continuing to support the church through this crisis. We think of those who have sent their tithes and offerings into the church. And we also thank those who are using Tithely on this website and on our church website. Our scripture for this morning is a continuation of what we've been studying through this series on the Gospel of Mark. And if you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you would turn to Mark chapter 11. We're not using PowerPoint or our sound system or anything fancy this week, as we tried last week, and it just didn't work. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 26. On the next day, When they had left Bethany, he, Jesus, became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. They began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all?' But you have made it a robber's den." The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him. They were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they would go out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." Our title for this morning is Examination and Expectation. The first verse of our passage starts on the next day. What an appropriate phrase for us today. During the days of our pandemic, our days seem to be all the same. The next day just doesn't seem to come. Someone said this week to me, "Every day is Saturday," or maybe it's Tuesday. Some days we wake up and we don't even know. But some days we don't think about the importance of every day. This particular day was a day of expectation and examination. The Bible said Jesus was hungry. He was hungry. Here was the one who from eternity past had never known hunger. He had never known need until he came as a baby that first Christmas morning. Now God had put on flesh. Now God understood what hunger was. They came that day again from Bethany. Bethany literally means house of figs. What promise there was in that name. A name carries with it all the hopes and dreams of the person who named the person, or the city in this case. It was close to the Mount of Olives, but here there were fig trees. And in the distance, Jesus could see a fig tree, strong, full of leaves. But that day the fig tree had no fruit. It only had leaves. It could provide shade from the heat of the sun, but it couldn't provide relief from hunger. I had a friend who felt sorry for the tree. She thought Jesus was being mean to the tree. Who is Jesus to curse a tree for not having figs out of season? Well, the truth is, it was Jesus' fig tree. When something belongs to you, you can do what you want to with it. In one of Jesus' parables, the fig tree wasn't bearing fruit, and he told his worker to cut it down. The worker said, "Let's give it another year." And the worker worked on the tree until it became productive again. Maybe the tree had outlived its productive years. Maybe its time had passed. Maybe it hadn't received the nourishment it needed, but the owner wanted it gone, and the owner owned the tree. If the tree didn't meet his needs, he could get rid of it. Last spring, we thought the cedar tree in our backyard and one of the shrubs in front of the church were dying. We talked about it in the trustees meeting and decided that we'd cut the tree down and remove the shrub. But there was a little sign of life when we went out to cut down the cedar tree. And I'm not too sure if the person cutting it down was sure about actually taking it down and where it would land if he did cut it down. But we decided to give it another year. The cedar tree recovered. The shrub died. This spring, we have a wonderful cedar tree in the backyard, but the shrub is gone. We examined the tree and the shrub last year. We kept the tree this year and pulled the shrub. They were our plants. We could do with them as we desired. In the same way, Jesus had the right to do whatever he wants to with his tree or with us. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. He numbers our days. He knows when we should live and when we should return to him. And when we're living right, we produce fruit when we're abiding in Jesus. Galatians 2, verse 29 said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not my life any longer. I belong to him. I came to Christ. I gave my life to Jesus." John 15, 1 through 5 said, "I am the true vine." Jesus is speaking here. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." There's a progression in these verses in John chapter 15. Jesus said that we as Christians are to bear fruit. Then he said we are to bear more fruit. And in the last verse, he says we are to bear much fruit. So I suppose we could look at our lives like that as well, that when we first come to Christ, we bear some fruit. But then as we live and grow in him, we bear more fruit. And then as we mature in him, we bear much fruit. The specific verse perhaps in John chapter 15 is new believers. I heard one message by John Rice or Curtis Hudson, and they both said that the fruit we bear is to be the same as we are. An apple tree produces apples. A peach tree, peaches. And so we as Christians are to produce new Christians. So that's one type of fruit that we as Christians bear. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we need not only to abide in Christ, but to allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Paul told his young disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So here's a good word for those fig trees. Produce fruit, preach the word, share Christ in season when it's popular, out of season when it's not popular. Share Christ. Be ready in season and out of season. There is the principle of the fig tree. Share your faith. Abide in Christ always by the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem. What did he do? He went in and examined the temple. Last week, we learned that the night before, Jesus went into the temple and just looked around. This was the day of judgment. What did Jesus see when he entered the temple, and what did Jesus say? Well, Jesus basically saw a farmer's market, people bringing their merchandise into the temple. That's where the people were. They were making a living in the temple. Sellers of animals. There were cows and bulls for sacrifice. There were flocks of sheep for sacrifice. And there were those who sold doves for sacrifice. I think years ago, one of the professors that I had in college came to the church here to preach. His name was Bill Lincoln. And he said that in the midst of judgment, Jesus showed mercy when he entered into the temple. He drove the cattle out, he drove the sheep out, but he told the people who had the doves, get these out of here, because if he had opened up the cages, the people who owned the doves wouldn't have been able to gather them up again. So he showed mercy in the midst of judgment. And then the money changers were there who were exchanging the common money into temple money. Jesus said, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all men, but you have made it a robber's den. God's house was to be a house of prayer. God's house was to be unlimited. It was to be for all people. God's house was not to be a place where things were sold. It was not to be a marketplace. So Jesus went in to examine the temple, and Jesus' expectations for the temple were not fulfilled. What should have been the response of the people? It should have been not only the people, but the leaders. We have disobeyed. We confess our sin. We ask for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. We rededicate this house to you. We proclaim that from now on, this temple will be to honor you through worship and prayer. What did it actually say? The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him. And they should have been afraid of him. On the way out of town that night, the fig tree was dead. The fig tree had already withered. While at the same time, the temple in Jerusalem was dead. The temple was already withering. 30, 40 years later, somewhere in that time period, the temple would be destroyed. Jesus was now the temple of God. He said to the Jewish people, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. And he told them the temple was his body. He wasn't talking about the Temple of Jerusalem. He was talking about himself. And today? Today we're God's temple. To the people in the church of Corinth, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom ye have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." There is never a season when we should be severed from the nourishment that we receive from being united with Jesus Christ. We are, as John 15, Jesus said it in John chapter 15, "Abide in me and let my word abide in you." We are certainly in a season where most everything has stopped. We are not able to do the things we're used to doing. All of our routines have changed. Even some of our priorities are different. But now is a good time to connect or reconnect with the Lord. Let's face it, we don't like examinations. Who likes midterms and finals? Who likes getting a yearly examination in a doctor's office? Who likes the tests that sometimes follow? I've heard that the test for COVID-19 is not a pleasant experience, but it's better to know than to ignore your diagnoses. How can I be prepared for this exam by Jesus? If Jesus came by today, what kind of a tree would he find? Well, I can prepare by reading my Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, the mind of Christ. To read and study the Bible is to abide in him, to meditate upon it and let it become a part of our lives. You can't know another person without communicating with them. How can you know the Lord unless you listen to him? Practice prayer. This is the second thing that I have for you this morning. Read, study, meditate on the Bible, but practice prayer. That's what Jesus said when he came into the temple. The temple was to be a place of prayer, as our lives are to be a place of prayer. Prayer takes time. How would you feel if the person closest to you totally ignored you? If that person never spoke to you, it would doom that relationship. We need to spend time speaking to the people who we love. A prayer response for today, a prayer that you can pray, a prayer that I can pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior and the Holy Spirit to be my teacher, my guide, my helper, and the one who brings your presence and power into my life. I do pray that you would forgive me for not giving you first place in my life. I pray that I would forgive others in the same way you have forgiven me. I rededicate my life to be a temple for you, yielding the fruit that only you can produce in me, whether in season or out of season. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.